Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So the Vishnu Purana is summing itself up with a final statement about knowledge of the Supreme Lord. That's what the passage began with. The bliss of Krishna consciousness is obtainable by understanding the Supreme Lord, by acquiring knowledge of Him. So this statement says, I'll read it again. Sagyayate yena tadasta dosham shudam param nirmalam ekarupam sandrishyate chapyadigamyate va tadgyanam agyanamato nyad uktam. That is actual knowledge by which He, the Personality of Godhead, is understood and also seen and achieved. He who is devoid of all faults is pure, transcendental, spotless, and always one and the same. Anything else which might be described is simply ignorance. Okay, so Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami continues, explaining something about this. Atraitad uktam bhavati. What is being said here is as follows. So evam bhuta aishwaryadi guna yukto yena gyanena tadeka rupam eva tattvam ityeva gyayate tadeva gyanam ityasya kim vivakshitam. Inasmuch as the Supreme Lord is like this, endowed with such qualities as His controlling power, Aishwarya, what is intended to be said about Him, then, by the statement? Question, what is it that's meant to be said by Him, about Him, in the statement, that is actual knowledge, by which it is understood that the truth has this one form and this one form alone. What is meant by that? Kim atad amshanam tad gunanam parityagena beda ganda rahitam tad gyayate. Is he supposed to be understood by rejection of all the various qualities which are aspects of what is different from him, as lacking any trace of differentiation by negating everything with material qualities, negating all material qualities? Are we supposed to ultimately understand him as lacking any trace of differentiation? Kim va achintya jnana gocharatayaikam eva tattvam guna guni rupam ittitam eva bedam tad gyayateti. Or else, is it supposed to be understood that he is without differentiation in the sense that when perceived through transcendental realization, the one truth has the forms of both qualities and possessor of qualities? Is it supposed to be understood? Okay. Yes, bro. In the Sanskrit, where is that? Atad should be atad? I think atad, that means the qualities that are not his umshas. That's how I translated it. Yeah, atad means something other than him. The qualities which are aspects of things other than him. That's what gets rejected. Neti neti. Okay. That's atad. Atad is not him, something else. Well, okay. Which one of these are we supposed to understand? Which way are we supposed to understand? By negating all material qualities, understand that he has no qualities? Or understand that by... understand that he is that he can be understood in an inconceivable way by what we call inconceivable knowledge. Knowledge that doesn't come by the application of mundane logic. Knowledge that's received from the revealed scriptures and from personal realization. By that process of a chintyagana, can we understand him as being both guna and guni, being the possessor of qualities and the qualities? He includes all of that by his inconceivable energies. Which one do you choose? The impersonal or the achinta beta beta? Your choice. Well, in answer to that question, which one is it? Which way are we supposed to understand him? These statements point the way. Uchyate gyana shakti balaishvarya ityatra heya guna mishrata nishedat. This is answered. That since admixture of inferior qualities is denied in the statement, knowledge, vigor, power, sovereignty, and so on. Okay, so that statement negated that he has any vina heyu gunadi bihi, without any inferior aspects of these qualities. So that's negated. Material qualities are negated. Tata gunams chidoshan chamune vyatitaha iti and samasta kalyana gunatmakohi iti gunantara nisheda purvaka taratma bhuta gunantara stapanena. The material qualities are negated, but also his qualities are proven to belong to his inner self by first denying other kinds of qualities and then proposing that he does have different qualities belonging to his very self. What the Vishnu Purana has done is deny material qualities, but then affirm his spiritual internal qualities. He has different kinds of qualities that belong to his very self. And that's in the words, he is beyond the qualities and faults of nature, and he contains within himself all auspicious qualities. Samasta kalyana gunatmakohi. Material qualities are denied, but spiritual qualities are affirmed. That's in the words of the Vishnu Purana. Therefore, these qualities cannot be abandoned. Tesham svarupa rupata pratipadana cha te pratityaktum na shakyante. We can't reject his spiritual qualities because they have been affirmed to belong to his very essential identity, his svarupa. Ata eva asta dosham itye voktam, natu asta tadduguna dosham iti. Therefore, it is said simply devoid of faults, not devoid of the faults of these qualities. He's devoid of faults, but having qualities is not a fault necessarily. Tasmat te shamapi yena yata vastitanam eva swarupa tvam gyayate tadgyanam ityeva tatparyam. Thus the purport is, that is knowledge by which one understands that these qualities as they actually are belong to his essential self. The original pure qualities belong to the Lord's Swarupa. The perverted forms of them are illusion, temporary products of the material world. They're to be negated. Ata eva bhagopa lakshana tvena kevala dvaita svarupam evochyate iti cha pratyakhyatam. Consequently, the idea that the mention of opulences is an indirect way of indicating that his real self is exclusive oneness is soundly refuted. The six opulences, six kinds of opulences. Hare Krishna. Consequently, the idea that the mention of opulences is an indirect way of indicating that his real self is exclusive oneness. Oh boy. Okay. The Mayavadis may take the description of the Lord's six kinds of opulence. These internal qualities of the Lord belong to his essential self, and they are real. Okay. I said it twice already. The Mayavadis may think that the description of the six kinds of opulence as the Supreme Lord is just another listing of qualities that are meant to be denied. That they belong to Saguna Brahman, not to the Absolute Brahman. But this is wrong, because the Vishnu Purana affirms that these six opulences of the Lord are real. They belong to his inner self. Okay. Tadetad bhagavad vachyam swarupam paramat manaha ityanena Jnana Shakti Balaishwarya Virya Tejams Shesheshataha Bhagavad Shabda Vachyani Ityanena Cha. After all, when the word Bhagavan is used, it is acknowledged that the personality of Godhead and his personal opulences are being referred to. Okay? In the Upanishads, you don't see the word Bhagavan very much. But the Vishnu Purana is using the term Bhagavan. And we should understand, when we're talking about Bhagavan, we're talking about personal opulences, swarup shaktis, not illusory qualities, but real qualities. The qualities of Bhagavan are all real. He doesn't have any illusory qualities. This is confirmed by such statements as, from the Vishnu Purana that we've already read, it is designated Bhagavan, the original form of the Supreme Soul. And the statement that complete knowledge, vigor, power, sovereignty, potency, and radiance are expressed by the word Bhagavan. there are some hints at that to be found in the Upanishads, in the Shvetashvata Upanishad, in some in Mundak and Katha Upanishad. There are some descriptions of the personal qualities of the Supreme Lord. The word Bhagawan is not generally used, but there's other words that indicate we're talking about the Supreme with real qualities. The Upanishads are not completely impersonal. And certainly the Vishnu Purana is making it clear that the absolute truth, that one can become liberated by understanding this absolute truth, that absolute truth is Bhagawan with his qualities. And that's what needs to be understood. Evam cha bhagasso, the Vedas, the Upanishads are the ultimate authority. But in Kali Yuga, we cannot understand the real purport of the Upanishads and the Vedas without appealing to the Puranas. Evam cha bhagasyapi swarupa bhutatvam eva vyaktam. It is thus also made evidently clear that the opulence also belongs to his essential self. These qualities are real, and they're non-different from the Supreme. And to make it clear, tadvyaktaye eva cha, shuddha sat swarupa nirupana eva vibhum sarvagatam ityatra prabhuta vachaka visheshanam dattam. And to make it clear that his opulences belong to his swarupa, while describing his pure essential identity, his swarupa, in the words all-powerful and present everywhere. Now, these adjectives are being used to describe the swarupa of the Absolute Truth. Vibhum sarvagatam. Before the word Bhagawan is introduced, there is description of the Absolute Truth in its generic form in that early passage, in the early part of that passage, spoken by Parashara. Vibhum sarvagatam. Well, that sounds impersonal, but these are adjectives that express the fact of his being the potent Supreme Lord. Vibhum means powerful. All-powerful. Sarvagatam means all-pervading. Something that possesses no energy, that has no qualities, can't be vibhu and sarvagatam. Evam advaita sharirika kritapi. Similarly, the author of the impersonalist commentary on Vedanta has himself introduced his discussion of the doctrines of Pancharatra by saying the following. This is Shankaracharya speaking in his Vedanta commentary. Be careful. Mayavada bashuni lehoi sarvanash. But we're going to hear from Shankaracharya now. That's okay. If we're listening to critically to establish the Vaishnava philosophy, then we can look at Shankara. But not, we shouldn't study Shankara with faith. Anyway, he says, Gyanaishwarya, Shakti, Bala, Te Jamsi, Guna, Atmana, Evaite, Bhagavanto, Vasudevaha. Iti Pancharatrikam, Matam, Utapitam. This is how Shankara characterizes the opinion of the followers of the Pancharatra, the Vaishnavas, who take the Pancharatra literature as their authority. This is how Shankara formulates their viewpoint. He says, knowledge, controlling power, prowess, physical strength, and radiant potency. These qualities are the Supreme Self. They are the personalities of Godhead, the Vasudevas. Well, what he's doing is equating Vishnu with his qualities, literally. Each one's a positive. Many different positives. Well, let's see what this amounts to. Next sentence. This is what Jiva Goswami makes of this. Shruti Puran Haribihi Shlagite Tasmin Api Sakshat Sri Bhagavan Mate Swarupa Shakti Vritti Visheshanam Tesham Gunanam Guninaikya Vritau Dushanam Tuaveta Vada Stapa Nagrahenaiva Kliptam. Shankara is confounding the opinion of the Divine Supreme Lord Himself, which is praised in the Shrutis, Puranas, and other scriptures, by way of equating these qualities, which are particular functions of the Lord's personal energy, confusing them with Him directly. The possessor of qualities was introduced by Him just out of His fixed aim of establishing the monist theory. So Shankaracharya is mispresenting, unfairly representing, the Pancharatra view here. It's not that there are many different lords. Each of the qualities is a different supreme Bhagawan. That's not what the Pancharatra is saying. Pancharatra is monist. We in the Pancharatras and the Bhagavatam are establishing there's one absolute truth. Gyanam tatvam yajnanam advayam. But that absolute truth has many qualities and many forms. It doesn't mean many different separate absolute truths or many separate Bhagawans. There's only one Bhagawan. And he's doing this. He's creating this confusion by misrepresenting the Pancharatra view just to establish the impersonal view. The Bhagawan is another duality. In fact, there's many alternative Bhagawans. But the reality is without qualities. That's the Advaitavad view. Just like we read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I don't remember somewhere in Madhyalila, there's a discussion of the presentation of the Vedanta Sar by Sadananda Yogindra, where it's talking about the Chatur Vyuha, and identifying the Chaturvyuha with the jivas and the material elements. That I think Vasudeva is the jiva and Samkarsana is the ego and the Mayavadi is literally equating them. As if the different forms of Narayan were material entities. That's a misinterpretation similar to this one. And Prabhupada gives a 25-page purport defeating the opinions of Sadananda Yogindra. There's only one Lord. He appears as Vasudeva, Samkarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, but they're all the same one absolute truth. And they're not identical with the material elements. They're the Lords. Vasudeva is the Lord of consciousness, but he's not material consciousness itself. Samkarsana is the controlling deity of ego, but he's not material ego, literally. Vasudeva is sometimes called jiva, but he's not a finite jiva. And he's not multiple, he's only one. In fact, tadagrahena Karanasyatma Bhuta Shakti Iti Atma Vachanam Nanu Samhitam Iti. In fact, his own words, Shankara's own words, the personal energy of the cause of creation. Karanasya Atma Bhuta Shakti. The personal energy of the cause of creation are not consistent with this aim. I left out something in here. Atma Vachanam. Nanu Samhita. It's not that the words are inconsistent, it's the word Atma that is.
Okay, let's see what's actually being said here. Karanasya Atma Bhuta Shakti. The Atma Bhuta, belonging to the self, the energy of the cause. According, if the Shankara says those words, but he contradicts them himself when he denies that the Shaktis actually belong to the Lord's self. He takes the Shaktis to be all illusory, all dualities. But he himself said Atma Bhuta Shakti of the Karana. So the word Atma is not being properly used there. If they actually are Atma Bhuta, then they are real. They're innate in the very self of the Supreme, which is something he doesn't believe. Or at least he doesn't advocate that idea. Rather, the Mayavadis say that all qualities are illusory. He's contradicting himself. And also, Krishna says something about this in the Bhagavad Gita. Sri Bhagavad Upanishatsucha Param Bhava Majananto Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram Ityanena Bhutam Paramarta Satyam Maheshwara Lakshanam Eva Swasya Param Tatvam Ityuktam. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said by the statement, "They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be." That is stating that the Lord's supreme identity is factual. Okay. Ultimate reality. The word is here, bhutam. Well, param bhavam mama bhuta maheshwaram. Bhuta there means paramarta satyam, ultimately real. Real in the highest sense. And it's Bhuta Maheshwaram. Maheshwara means himself, the Supreme Ishwara. It's the highest reality, the Param Bhavam, the Param, the ultimate reality, Tattvam. They don't understand, in other words, Krishna is saying, that I am the Absolute Truth. I'm not a degraded reflection of the Absolute Truth. I am the Absolute Truth. And Mayavadis and other fools don't understand that. Ata eva Sri Swami Bir Api Tatra Tatra Tatavya Kyatam. Also, and so, Srila Sridhar Swami has given his interpretation in this way in various places. And it is also stated in the Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana. In other words, Sridhar Swami, many times in his commentaries on the Bhagavatam and on the Vishnu Purana and on the Bhagavad Gita, he explains in these terms that the Supreme Lord's identity is absolute and his qualities are real. Tatacha padmotara konde Bhagavan iti shabdo yam tata purusha ityapi vartate nirupadischa vasudeve kilatmani. The word Bhagavan and the word Purusha both apply unconditionally to Vasudeva, the soul of all. Two terms that are common in the scriptures, Bhagavan and Purusha, a lot of talk about Purusha, even in the Upanishads, they are actually names of Vasudeva, directly, not figuratively. Unconditionally, they refer to Vasudeva, who is the soul of all. And Vasudeva had his own opinion about that in the Bhagavad Gita that we just read. Okay, that is file 43. Let's open up the next file, 44. Okay. Tasmad bhagavishishtasyaiva bhagavato brahmavat paravidyamatra vyangyatvena svaprakashatvam spashtameva. Thus, since in the same way as the impersonal Brahman, the personality of Godhead, qualified by his opulences, can be revealed only by the superior method of mystic knowledge, the vidya, paravidya, which makes it obvious that he is self-manifest. There were two kinds of vidya mentioned in the beginning of that passage of the Vishnu Purana, which hark back to the statement in the beginning of the Mundaka Upanishad. There are two kinds of spiritual education, para and apara. The karmakanda understanding you can get from the Vedas is apara. The understanding with actual realization in the heart of the Supreme, that is para vidya. Bhagawan and also Brahman can actually be realized only by para vidya, not by simple book learning. That indicates, since Bhagawan as well as Brahman can be actually realized only by the highest form of knowledge, by direct realization, that means that he, Bhagawan, is self-manifest. It's not that he can be discovered by some power of knowledge. When he chooses to reveal himself, then he is known. Otherwise, he's not. A material object can be seen by light. We turn on the light and we can see the items in the room. They are not revealing themselves. They are being revealed by another power. But the absolute truth, the Bhagawan, or even Brahman, must reveal itself. Otherwise, it's not known. Atra shruti antaram, cha shri madhva bhashya pramanitam. In this regard, another statement of shruti is also cited in the Vedanta commentary of Sri Madhva. Ata dve vava vidye veditavye, para apara cha. So, there are two kinds of wisdom to be learned, the superior and the inferior. Tatra ye vedadya yani angani yani upangani sapara. Of these, the inferior one are the Vedas and the other scriptures, including the Vedas' corollaries and the corollaries of the corollaries. There is the Vedas and the Upangas. Rather the Angas. They're the Vedangas. And then they're the Angas of the Angas. Vedangas are the six corollary departments of knowledge, including grammar. And then we know that grammar has subdivisions also. So there's Angas of the Angas. Just like it's one important point in grammar to understand how the letter na sometimes becomes cerebral ma. That is the doctrine of natvam, or cerebralization of the dental na. And whole books have been written on the topic. Natva vichar. You know, it's a subdivision of grammar. And there's subdivisions of the subdivisions. You can spend lifetimes studying it all. Okay. Tatra, okay. Atapara, Madhvacharya in his Vedanta commentary continues, Atapara yaya harir veditavyo yosav adrishyo nirgunak parak paramatma. And the superior is that which can be known, by which can be known Lord Hari. That is the superior knowledge by which you can know Lord Hari, who is invisible and without qualities, the supreme of the supersoul. That's what the Mundak Upanishad says. So here, Madhvacharya is simply paraphrasing the Mundak Upanishad. The Lord Hari, the Supreme Lord, it doesn't say Hari. It doesn't name him in the Mundak Upanishad. It talks about the Akshara, the infallible. But that infallible is Adrishya, is invisible and unknowable, Nirguna, but he's known by the Paravidya. And we understand Adrishya Nirguna is not to be taken too literally. He cannot be seen by ordinary eyes, and he has no ordinary qualities. But there is a realm in which he can be seen, and he does have a different kind of qualities. Okay. Kotaravya Shrutavapi Tesham Gunanam Paravidya Matra Vyangyatvam Vyanjitam. It is also implied in the Kotaravya Shruti, which I've never seen. I don't know what that book is. Kotaravya Shruti. There is implied that these qualities can only be revealed by the superior wisdom. Adrishyam avyavaharyam avyapadeshyam sukham gyanam ojabalam iti. And then it also says, brahmanas tasmad brahmet yachakshate. The invisible, unexploitable, inexpressible happiness, knowledge, potency, and strength. Therefore, the absolute truth is referred to as Brahman. Okay. I presume that means that we say that the happiness, knowledge, potency, and strength of the absolute truth are invisible, inexpressible, unexploitable. But that it has to be understood properly. Not that it cannot be known or perceived at all, but that only by paravidya can it be perceived and known. And also elsewhere, anyatra cha, anyad gyanam tu jivanam, anyad gyanam parasya cha, nityananda vyayam purnam, param gyanam vidyate. The awareness, we don't know where this comes from. This is a statement somewhere else. The awareness of the finite souls is one thing, and the awareness of the Supreme is another. The Supreme awareness is described as eternally blissful, inexhaustible, and complete. Then, ato madhva bhashya eva pramanitam. Iti shrutyantaram apitena gunina tesham gunanam tad vyanjaka shaktis chaik atmakatvam eva pratipadyati. Thus yet another statement of Shruti cited in the commentary of Madhva on Vedanta Sutra establishes that these qualities and the energy which manifests them are non-different from him, the Supreme Lord, the possessor of qualities. And Madhva cites this statement, we don't know where from, but quoted by Madhvacharya. Yad atmako bhagavams tad atmika vyaktihi kim atmako bhagavan gyanatmaka aishvaryatmaka shaktyatmakascha. The manifestation is of the same substance as the personality of Godhead. What the personality of Godhead is made of, that's what the manifestation is made of. What is the substance of the personality of Godhead? His substance is knowledge, controlling power, and energy. Jnana Bala Kriya, or Satchidananda. So the Lord himself, in his essence, is Satchitananda, Jnana Bala Kriya. But also, everything he manifests, all his personal qualities and energies, are also, all of them, Jnana Bala Kriya, Satchitananda. Full of variety, but perfectly spiritual and eternal. Okay. Yasya jnanam ayam tapaha iti shutyantarepi yasya chitsarupam evaishvaryam iti abhidiyate. It is also said in another shruti, namely the Mundaka Upanishad, 9th verse, whose power of concentration is comprised of knowledge. In the very beginning, it was said there's the Akshara, the infallible supreme, is understood by the Apara Vidya. And then that Apara Vidya is described in the rest of that first chapter of the Mundaka Upanishad. And it's said about the Supreme Absolute Truth, yasya jnanam ayam tapaha, whose opulence is his essential identity of living spirit. How did I get that translation? Oh, okay, because I read the wrong one. It is also said in another shruti, the Mundaka Upanishad, whose power of concentration is comprised of knowledge. The Supreme Lord concentrates. Tapas is not translated properly in this context as performing austerities. Sa aikshata sa tapo tapyata bahusyam. The Supreme, in the beginning of creation, looked around him. And then he performed tapas. Satapo tapyata, atapyata. And he decided, let me become many. So what does it mean that the Supreme Absolute Truth did tapas? Better to translate that as not perform austerity, but to concentrate his attention. This is actually a basic meaning of tapas. Tapas literally means to give off heat. It's understood as the heat of austerity. But more basically, it's the heat, the concentration of the heat, the intensity of concentrating the mind. That's what the Supreme Lord does. He doesn't do any austerities, but he thinks very hard about what to do. And he concentrates his attention, and by concentrating his attention, what he wants is accomplished. So that's what he did at the beginning of creation, the Supreme Absolute Truth. And that tapas, that power of concentration of his mind, is pure spirit. Or rather, jnanamaya, I'm sorry, is composed of knowledge, of pure awareness. And that yasya chitsarupam evaishvaryam. In other words, that indicates that his opulences, or the opulences that belong to his inner self, his swarupa aishvarya, that opulence is his essential identity of living spirit. No. That's wrong. Not that the opulence is his essence, but that the opulence belongs to the essence of pure consciousness, chitsarupam. The aishwaryam is itself alive. He's alive in the highest sense, the absolute truth, and his personal energies are alive. They're chit. They're alive, they're conscious, sat chit ananda. And they're blissful. His energies, he is, and his energies are conscious, alive, and eternal. Sat chit ananda. Chatur Veda Shikayam cha. And in the Chatur Veda Shika, another Upanishad, there is a statement that begins, Vishnur Eva Jyotir Vishnur Eva Brahma Vishnur Eva Atma Vishnur Eva Balam Vishnur Eva Anandaha Ityadi. Vishnu himself is light. Vishnu himself is Brahman. Vishnu himself is the self. Vishnu himself is strength. And Vishnu himself is bliss. Okay, his strength, his bliss, his expansions as Brahman, his expansions as the finite living entities, these are all non-different from himself. Vishnu himself is all of these. You cannot say the opposite direction, that all these things are Vishnu. That the qualities are Vishnu, but Vishnu is the qualities. The jiva is not Vishnu, but Vishnu is also the jiva. Okay. This goes on, but I think we've finished the discussion of what was said in the Vishnu Purana. So tomorrow we'll go back to the 24th Anucheda in File 7. Okay. Anybody want to ask a question? Yes. No, I'm invited.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Last year, when we went to Russia, you met a few Sanskritologists, and they asked you about whether the concept of Satchitananda was ever found, or had been ever found somewhere in the Shrutis and original Upanishads and the Vedas. And now that the mention is here, made a reference to the Shruti as mentioning that idea, but not in the same terms, not in Satchitananda, but...
I think you'll find the term Satchitananda there also. I didn't know offhand.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't remember, but...
Hold on a second.
I will do a search. Yeah, go ahead.
We're likely to meet the same person this year when we go to Russia, so you will ask you the same question again.
Okay, well, let's get ready for it right now. I'm going to look in Vedanta. I have a list of various Upanishad quotes. And let's open it up and search for Satchitananda.
Just to brief devotees, is that their argument is that Satchitananda is a new concept which was found only in some new Upanishads.
Well, I came up with the statement from the Gopaltapani Upanishad, Satchitananda rupaya krishnaya klishta karini namo vedanta vidyaya gurave buddhisakshine. But they won't accept that. The Gopaltapani is sectarian. Let's see what else. That's also Gopal Tapani. Tameka Govindam Satchitananda Vigraham. Okay. Let's see what else. Nope. Gopal Tapani. Ishvarat Paramak Krishna Satchitananda Vigraham. That's Brahma Samhita.
I came up with a list of about 19 Upanishads for them, but they dismissed them all. They said it's all their own.
Here's something called AZ. You found 19 Upanishads where it's mentioned? Okay.
Them all.
Here's something, but I don't know what AZ stands for. Hold on a second. Quote grammar, AZ. Let's see if AZ shows up on the list. Nope, it doesn't. I don't know what the AZ is. Okay, let's try another one. Satchitananda. Gopaltapani. Satchitanandaika rase bhakti yoga tishtati. Well, that doesn't count. Okay, you found 19? I'm not finding them, but okay. 19 different Upanishads that talk about Satchitananda.
Yeah, because I searched in different variations. Different variations of Satchitananda.
Okay. I don't think it's a foreign concept to the Upanishads. It may be sometimes said in different words. It's like a slogan of the Mayavadis. But it's, you know, there are different ways to say the same idea. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.